to another edition of Religion and Rock. I'm Monsignor Jim Vlorn. Here is our producer and our engineer and a lot of other things, Stephen
Sheldon. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's everything all
I
right?
I am reveling in fall. It's yeah, just well, like everything's bursting around us right now.
Dying would be the word in the Northeast.
Bursting dying. In color.
But it's definitely colorful. That's
oh, yes.
Without a doubt, right?
Yes, and it's just a little nippy.
You know, I did a big clean out the other day, a fall cleanup. You know, you do that?
Yes.
You clean out your garage or anything like that, Sheldon?
Oh, yeah. We had a garage sale. I dumped a ton of stuff and the attic. All gone.
Because there's something interesting about that, you know, and it's a funny thing. Like, you know, I just kind of put a bunch of stuff away for, this is how I did it. I put a bunch of stuff in bins.
Okay.
And I said, okay, I'm going to put these, I'm not going to open up these bins. I'm going to see if I can live without them for 3 months. And guess what?
You did.
No problem.
So
no
problem. Did you throw them out?
No, I gave it to the poor. It's
oh,
all
there
gone.
You go.
Dishes, pots and pans, gone. Don't need it. Don't need it.
Didn't need it.
I'm living with less.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good feeling to live with less.
It is to get rid of it, to clean out.
Yeah, it's not bad. And, you know, now and then cleaning out the clothes and the things we haven't worn since we're in ninth grade, you know, it's worth it. It's worth doing that. You
but
know.
I'll get into those pants again maybe one day.
Doubtful. I had a, you know, it's a funny thing. I had a size 34. Levi Strauss corduroys.
Okay.
And I mean, 34, Sheldon. You know, I mean, that hasn't happened.
How long ago?
That's probably 40-something years ago. They're good. They're petrified, but that's it. They ain't going nowhere. You know, we got to watch the things we have in our lives, and we all have possessions. It's how we live with them that makes the difference. And that's the thing we're looking at on Religion and Rock. Like, how do we live with possessions in our lives? That's the great gift and the great challenge. This is Rod Stewart. It's called Handbags and Glad Rags.
Seen a blind man cross the road, trying to reach the other side. Ever seen a young girl growing old, trying to make herself a bride? So what becomes of you, my love? When they have finally stripped you off the handbags and the glad rags that your poor old granddad had to sweat to buy you. Once I was a young man, and all I thought I had to do was smile. You are still a young girl, and you bought everything in style. But once you think you're in, you're out. But that don't mean a single. Your poor old granddad had to sweat to buy you. Sing a song of sixpence for your sake, about a bottle foot of rye. Blackbirds in a cake and bake them all in a pie. They told me you missed school today, so what I suggest is just throw them all away. The handbags and the glad rags that your poor old granddad had to sweat to buy you. Suggest you just throw them all away. Amblex and the glad rags that your poor old granddad had to sweat to buy.
It is funny how we sometimes hang on to things in our lives. And you think about the clothes that we hang on to. I was telling you about my Levi corduroys, you know. But there are other things we hang on to for a long, long time. I remember when I was a kid one time, I was wearing these Earth shoes. Remember Earth shoes? And I wore these things to death. Like, they were actually ripped and torn. They were from Tom McCann. And I came home from school one day, went out in sneakers, came home, and they were gone. And I remember looking upstairs, and I said, "Hey, Mom, where's my my Earth shoes?" She said, "They're gone forever. I threw them away." And it was like the loss of a child in my life. I was just so distraught. But you know what? I got over it, even though I'm like, it's 50 years later, and I'm still crying about it. There's something about that that's important to see in our lives. You know, that in our lives, there are certain things we hang on to a long time, but there's a lot of stuff we can probably get rid of and live perfectly fine without. And that's the challenge of our lives. You know, what's enough? How much is enough? And what becomes ridiculous, you know, because we're never going to get back into it, or it's never going to be in style, or we just have too many clothes. We can clothe somebody else very easily by just folding them and putting them into a nice clothing bin, and all of a sudden, you know, what we are just living in a closet with can actually clothe somebody else or clothe another family. It becomes a great thing. So that's kind of an important part of our lives, and it's a spirituality of giving and sharing that ultimately will put us in touch with God. It's a good thing. Hey, here's Joe Walsh. This is called A Life of Illusion.
Can't
Joe Walsh, Life of Illusion. You know, sometimes we do that. We fool ourselves. And I think that's something to be very cautious and careful about all the time in our lives, that there are times that we really do fool ourselves into thinking that, well, I'm doing all I can, or, you know, I've given away enough, or I need everything I have. You know, those are the things that are sometimes crazy in our minds. We kind of play this game where it's all mine and I don't want to share it and I don't need to share it. And, you know, ultimately giving things away kind of helps us to feel good. And there's a great experience in that, you know, that when we give things away, this, I don't know if it's an endorphin, I don't know what it is, but there's something produced in the human body that you kind of feel good about it. I know I do. Whenever I make a donation or whenever I do something and give some stuff away, or you kind of leave the event or the moment feeling good. And you say, you know, that was a good thing. I write a check to, you know, to a charity. And I say, wow, I kind of feel good about that. Like once it's in the mail, I say, I feel good about that. So I don't know. There's something about that that we could really all utilize in our lives. We could use that good feeling and don't fool ourselves. You know, don't fool ourselves and live the life of illusion. It's important to see, yeah, the reality of who we are, the reality of what's going on in our lives. Here's George Harrison, not Madonna, Living in a Material World.
Thank you.
is really the crux of the whole show today, that we live in a world where God has given us material things, right? Given us this earth, given us the things we have, given us, you know, what we do and what we have in our lives. Now, how do we do that and still have a relationship with God? Because the things can clog it up. They can clog up our relationship with God. And it's not always easy to do that. But ultimately, we have to look at things realistically and say, well, how much do I love these things and how much do I love people? And sometimes the things kind of get more love than the people in our lives, right? So we love our car, but we love our car so much that it kind of takes over our life. You know, we're out there every day polishing it and taking care of it. So it's one thing to have a hobby. It's one thing to like also have respect for the things that we've been given and the things that we own and have earned in our life. But at the same thing, when they kind of take over and they get in the way of other things, then we got problems, right? Then that's when things start to get blurry. So it's about that stewardship, how we own the things we've been given and recognize that God has given us ultimately everything, but in the same way, being able to let it go and say, yeah, you know what? If it left me tomorrow, though I might be sad, I still have my, you know, love of my life. I still have my wife. I still have my my children. And all of that stuff makes the biggest difference in the world. So it's kind of about the context of the things that we have in this material world of ours. Here's the Black Crowes, Jealous Again.
Yeah, jealous.
I think that's the most debilitating thing about humanity. Jealousy is an unbelievable detriment to our happiness and to our lives. And in my world, I think that's a sin, a very serious sin in some ways, because jealousy kind of produces all kinds of things. Like when you put jealousy on the stove and let it boil, you know, it bubbles into hatred. It bubbles into all kinds of terrible stuff. Gossip, all the things we do is generally out of jealousy. And it's true in every form of life. Priesthood has it. All kinds of lives have it. But the reality is we need to be able to surmount that. We need to get beyond that. We need to pray away jealousy and say, you know what? I need to be grateful for what I have and proud of what other people have, you know, other people have in my life, and say, yeah, that's a blessing too. God bless them for that. Because one, I always say this at Telecare Television, where I'm the CEO, you know, I always say our victory is united. So one victory is everybody's victory. We got to look at it that way. That's the truth of the matter. So I can't be jealous of this program because that won an Emmy and I didn't win an Emmy. No. One Emmy is enough, you know? It's a great, great gift if that should ever happen. That point is, I think, what we have to see in life, you know, that anybody's victory is our victory too. And ultimately in life, there's going to be winners and losers, but that doesn't mean necessarily if we're on the losing end that, you know, the other guy's a bad guy. Like, there's different times, right? There's times of winning, times of losing, but it's balancing it out in our lives. I could talk about this all day long because it's hard when you're a victim of jealousy and it's hard when you live with jealousy. Both of those things are difficult emotions, and we need to ask God's help to let those go, because they keep us from God. They keep us from loving. It's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to suffer from. Here is Pink Floyd. This is called Have a Cigar. in our lives, you know, we have to judge success all the time, don't we? And, you know, at work, I don't know if you have like a yearly evaluation. You know, we sometimes do those. You know, you take a look at somebody's performance. You take a look at your own performance, self-evaluate. And there's something about that that's good and popular and the right thing to do. But I think we also have to sometimes take time aside in our life and speak with God a little bit of prayer that says, hey, what's enough and what is success? You know, sometimes in our lives, we chase the tail of success. We never really get there. You know, it's like a dog chasing his tail, never going to get there. There's something about that that kind of becomes difficult. I don't know if you know people who, you know, get caught up in work and their work becomes their life and their life becomes their work and in such a way that they can't stop anymore. You know, they can't take a break anymore. It's not easy when that happens to us. It's happened to me many, many times in my life. You know, we have to fight that off all the time and say, you know what? Enough is enough. Like, it's okay to stop. It's okay to read a book. It's okay to take some time off. That's a good thing. So in our lives, you know, we chase success. We have many jobs. We do everything we can possibly do to make as much money as possible. But eventually you got to get to that point where you say, you know what? I got enough. There's enough to live here and I can find happiness here. And that kind of experience is a great experience because that's the stuff of life that helps us to say to God, I'm content. I'm grateful. Thank you. I'm going to live life with a smile because I know that I've reached this point where I feel comfortable with me. You know, I feel comfortable with my achievements and enough is enough. And that's a good thing. I think we need to find that in our lives. Hey, I'm Monsignor Jim. You're listening to Religion and Rock. We're talking about living with possessions today. This is Eddie Vedder. It's called Society.
We're some mystery to me. We have agreed with which we have agreed. Think you have to want more than you need. Until you have it all, you won't be free. Society, you're a crazy breed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Want more than you have, you think you need. And when you think more than you want, your thoughts begin to bleed. I think I need to find a bigger place. 'Cause when you have more than you think, you need more space. Society, you're crazy breed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Society, crazy indeed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Less is more. But if less is more, how you keep in score? It means for every point you make, your level drops. Kinda like you're starting from the top. And you can't do that. Society, you're a crazy breed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Society, crazy indeed. I hope you're not lonely without me. Society, have mercy on me. I hope you're not angry if I disagree. Society, crazy Andy. I hope you're not lonely without me.
There's definitely struggles in society with possessions too, right? You know, and how much is enough? And a world where, particularly American culture, you know, the more you have, the more prestige you have, you know? So it's hard to be poor in a society like this that we live in right now. You know, when I was a kid, and not that I'm all that old, but, you know, we all drove, for example, old cars when we started driving. So we got hand-me-downs. I got my grandfather's Dodge Swinger, 1972 Dodge Swinger. And I felt like that was the best car I ever had until I had the Volkswagen Beetle, which was a 71. But, you know, all of those things, like back in the 80s, you know, that was kind of what we did. Now everybody drives a brand new car, right? It's not, nobody has old cars really anymore. And in some ways, like, there's pressure to do that. There's pressure for families to have that. There's pressure even for families to, like, drive their kids to school. This is like a bugaboo for me. I see all these buses coming. You know, our television station's main office is on the grounds of a Catholic high school. All these buses come in every morning and, like, five or six kids get off of the bus. And, you know, there's got to be hundreds of cars of parents dropping their kids off every day. So why can't they take the bus? Like, we took the bus every day, you know? But it's a different society now. So there's a lot more pressure now, and that's not good necessarily, but it's where we are. And so we need God's help with that to help us to keep things in context so that it doesn't become all about being cushy, but it becomes about, you know, doing good things for other people and reaching out to the poor and all of the balance that's necessary in our lives. Here's Tom Petty. This is called All the Wrong Reasons.
That big old house went up for sale. They were on the road by morning. Oh, 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 the days went slow into the change. She grew up hard and she grew up fast in the age of television, and she made a vow to have it all. It became her new religion. Despite the best intentions, and a big old man goes up for sale, he becomes his own invention. Oh, 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 oh. The days go slow into the changing season. For all the
Sometimes we get caught up in things for the wrong reasons, right? Because we need to be, I don't know, ahead of the people who live next door to us or quicker than the guy who's driving the car next to me. You know, all of those things, that competition lifestyle, ugh, I just can't do it. I don't know if you get caught up in it, but it's a hard world when you live there, you know, because we say to ourselves, well, what's enough? How much is enough? It never ends. The race never ends, you know? Sometimes in life, we have to be able to take that time aside and say, you know what? Life's a blessing. What happens in a lot of people's lives, unfortunately or fortunately, is when they get sick, things kind of come into perspective. We get a certain perspective when we're sick because, you know, we have this certain invincibility in our lives. I'm never going to get sick. Nothing's ever going to happen to me. And then when you kind of are sick, you know, then it kind of gets all perspective again. Or when somebody we love gets sick, same kind of thing. We look and say, yeah, you know what? What matters is nothing about the things. What matters is this relationship. What matters is the people that we spend time with. And that's really what matters in our lives. So sometimes, yeah, all the wrong reasons get caught up. We got to ask God's help to kind of get beyond that. Here's Billy Joel. This is called No Man's Land.
Come rolling through the quiet pines. Blue suits of bankers with their baubles and their valentines. Give us this day our daily discount outlet merchandise. Raise up a multiplex and we will make a sacrifice. Now we're gonna get the big business. Now we're gonna just miles and miles of parking space.
Now we're gonna get the major attractions. Who remembers when it all began?
things can get in the way of friendships too, can't they? And they can end friendships. And when we get jealous, it gets murky right away too, right? It's hard to kind of see other people's success and then say, hey, I'm so happy for that person, if we get lost in jealousy. So we have to once again pray above that and ask God to help us to transcend that so that we don't get lost in what other people have, but we can recognize what we have and the gratefulness to God that we want to, you know, be just happy that we've been given what we have and live our lives the best we can. That's what's going to matter in the long run, actually. Here's Rush. This is called Red Barchetta.
Shining car, a billion red Barchetta from
That's an old Rush song that Sheldon loves because it's about a car, you know? And it's interesting because sometimes, again, in our lives, the cars become everything, right? They become our life, our spouse, our friend. And you know, it's an interesting thing. Like my car, I have to say a lot. I use my car a lot. I drive tons of miles every year, like 15, 16,000 miles a year. It's crazy. But at the same time, that car is like my office, too. Like, and I can spend time in my car. And if I have to do phone calls and emails, I can do it, you know, pull over and I park someplace nice. And I can do some work if I'm early someplace. All of that is great. But the car is not, you know, any, I have no emotional attachment. I had an emotional attachment once to a car, and it was a Volkswagen Beetle I told you about earlier. But aside from that, I was a kid. You know, it's a different story when you get a little bit older. So sometimes it's about the context. You know, putting things in context is a big, big help. And that's true about not just cars. It's about all kinds of things in our lives that get in the way. The boat, you know, whatever it is, it can get in the way. So it's about owning things kind of loosely, hanging on to them like a golf club, you know, so that we don't hang on too tight and we can let go and if we have to let go, and we can love people when we have to love people and serve the poor when we got to do that, so it's all balanced out. Here's you too. This is called Ordinary Love.
The sea wants to kiss the golden shore. The sunlight warms your skin. All the beauty that's been lost before wants to find us again. I can't fight you anymore. It's you I'm fighting for. The sea throws rocks together, but time leaves us polished stones. We can't fall any further if we can't feel ordinary love, and we cannot reach any higher if we can't deal with ordinary love. We'll be right back.
Well, that's the ordinariness of love, is that God kind of breaks in here and makes it all worthwhile, because in our lives, you know, that's where our love is supposed to lie, in people and loving, you know, our neighbor as ourself and loving our God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what it's all about, the greatest commandment. So if things get in the way to that, we have to kind of break them away. We have to figure out a way to let go of some of the stuff of our lives. We all have a lot of things. That's the truth. Take a look at your junk drawer today. Take a look in your garage, your shed, even the trunk of your car. You know, there's probably things there you don't necessarily need. If we can let go of some things, we're going to travel lighter. If we can let go of things, we're going to start looking at the other guy and say, you know what? I can help the needy. I can reach out to the poor. And when we do that kind of thing, that good feeling comes from knowing we've done what God asks us to do, but also we're living with less. And so ultimately in our lives, there's more room for God to break in and teach us how to be better at what we do and better love one another. You've been listening to Religion and Rock. It's hosted by me, Monsignor Jim Vlahan, and it's engineered and produced by the man who has absolutely nothing, Stephen Sheldon. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and don't forget, say a prayer.